The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lipman Cooks.
Rita Mabley, who's the CEO and president of United Hebrew Geriatric Center. Welcome, Rita.
Thank you.
And we've also got Gene Dunphy, who's affiliated with United Hebrew Geriatric at Willow Towers Assisted Living. Welcome, Gene.
Thank you.
It is great to have you ladies here with us. And I guess let's start out by describing why would a nursing home affiliate with an assisted living place?
It seemed to us it was a logical adjunct to our continuum of care services. We have a full campus of services, and the one thing that we felt we were missing up until 2003 was the ability to care for people that were relatively independent, only needed some small amount of assistance, and wanted to live in a beautiful environment, downscale from a house, move into an apartment, but have a lot of services. And that's what we've provided them in Willow Towers.
Okay, so the nursing home portion is United Hebrew Geriatric, and Willow Towers is the assisted living.
Yes, that's correct.
And are these for-profit operations or not-for-profit?
No, our campus is a not-for-profit campus.
And what does that mean?
That means that unlike people who are in a mom-and-pop store, we're not looking at the bottom line at the end of the year in order to make a profit and take that profit home with us. We would rather run our expenses as close to our revenue as possible and use it all for the good care and well-being of our population.
But that doesn't mean it's free to get the services. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. I would say that in our nursing home, about 80% of our clients, maybe 82%, are actually having their stay paid for by Medicaid.
Okay, so for a consumer who unfortunately has a relative who needs a long-term care in a nursing home, what advice would you give them about the difference between going to a not-for-profit home versus one that's for-profit?
I don't know that I would stick to either not-for-profit or for-profit. I would always advise people that are looking to do their homework. There are many websites that people who are seeking help to place a loved one can go to. Those sites will tell you about the quality of care of the individual nursing home. It'll tell you about how they did on Department of Health surveys. It will tell you about staffing. Those are the types of things that I would look at. If I were going to place someone myself, I would go and visit the nursing home. I would ask to take a tour. I would go unannounced. I would ask about staffing ratios. I would ask about how many CNAs or certified nursing attendants there are on any nursing unit. How large is the nursing unit? Are there 20 beds? Are there 30 beds? What kind of programming is available? What's the incidence of decubitus ulcers or bed sores? There's a lot to ask, and I think the old adage of being educated as a consumer is just the best advice that I can give to someone who's in that precarious position and difficult position of trying to place a loved one in a long-term care facility.
So those all sound like terrific questions to
ask, and really that was quite helpful. But what about for somebody who's in the hospital and they need to leave the hospital because the hospital is saying, you know, we can't take care of you anymore, and you've got to find a place in 2-3 days, otherwise we're going to start charging you, you know, thousands of dollars. How does the average person who's got no experience, obviously you've got a tremendous amount of experience, how does the average person find a good place in that short period of time?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head. Sometimes that's exactly how a person comes into a nursing home. They're in the hospital. They are told, your stay is about completed. You need to give us the names of 3 or 5 nursing homes to which we can send your paperwork because we need to place you there. It's a terrible time for those people or the loved ones that are caring for those people. I would suggest that forewarned, if you see that someone is going to be in the hospital or they've had a fall or they fractured a hip, start doing your homework almost immediately upon admission to the hospital. Ask questions. Ask the discharge planner at the hospital, the social worker. Ask your friends. Call your trusted attorney that may have friends that know of other people that have been in a similar situation. Go to websites. Those are the types of things, and I know how difficult that is during that time of tumult or turmoil where you just, all you care about is that your loved one is taken care of, and all of a sudden you're being told you have to move and you have to go someplace else. We have had experiences where someone will be placed at another facility or organization, and then the family feels more comfortable about doing their research, and then they might say, we would like to transfer our person from X nursing home to your nursing home. What's the procedure? And you know, sometimes that is the way it plays out, just because there's so much going on during that acute stage of the illness.
So true or false, all nursing homes are the same?
False.
So what really makes the difference? Does a nice hallway really mean you're going to get good care, good parking? I mean, what really makes the difference?
I did a tour today at our nursing home, and they were people I had never met before. And the thing that they said to me, and we're in the midst of construction, so talk about parking and tumult, we're in the midst of it all. Four people who I toured today said to me at the end of the tour, there's just a feeling of warmth when you come in here. And they found it amazing that all of us who met each other, whether we were residents and staff or we were staff to staff, we all managed to take the time out to say hello to each other. How does the resident look? What's the attitude when you say hello? Is there a smile back from the person? There's just a feeling, I think. And no, all residents, all nursing homes are not the same.
So it really is, Rita, and we're talking about Rita Mabley from United Hebrew Geriatric Center. It really is, comes down to the people, right?
Absolutely. The people, the people, the people. I have been in the organization, United Hebrew, since a long time ago, about 30 years. And I have to tell you that the biggest part of my job is that I am privileged to work with the people with whom I work.
So you mentioned that you were giving a tour. In what nursing home does the CEO give the tours?
Well, I've also answered phones, and I feed residents. I do it all, and I love doing it. You know, there's no place I'd rather be. And I think that translates to how I feel about where I work and how the other people who work with me feel.
Now, what do you do about families who are in a denial stage where they just, you know, the daughter swears she would never put mom in a nursing home and mom's just not getting the right care where she is? How do they overcome that?
I think they go through that grieving process. There's guilt, and then there's more guilt. And more often than not, we treat the families as much as we treat the resident who's with us. More often than not, the resident who has possibly been living home alone, trying to get from hither to yon on a daily basis, starts to thrive when they come into a nursing home because there is a social atmosphere, there is 24-hour care, there's someone there all the time. That fear and anxiety about being alone sort of goes away. The family member, however, still feels the guilt. And that's when we have to step up to the plate and try to convince the daughter or the son, you did something that was very brave and very good for mom. It may not be what you would have chosen, but it's best for mom.
Now, if someone's in a nursing home, does it mean they're one step closer to death, or can they actually come home one day?
You know, that's a very good question. Not that all of your questions aren't perfect, but the fact of the matter is that over the past number of years, especially over the past 5 years, we've been doing a lot more discharges home. And what we do is essentially short-term rehabs. We get people in who have fractured their hips because of a fall, and 21 days later or 32 days later, those people are going home. And as a function of that, we've signed an affiliation agreement with Burke Rehab. So Burke comes in and does our rehab for us and gets us to give the best possible care to those people who need it. One of the things that we're doing in our new building is we're dedicating a whole fifth floor to people who are going to be going home. It's our short-term rehab unit.
Now, Burke has a terrific reputation on the short-term rehab, and you've got an arrangement where they come to you?
Burke is actually on site. We are privileged to be in that partnership arrangement with Burke. We have a fabulous rehab department and have had a lot of amazing results. We had a 58-year-old man who came to us, couldn't speak, couldn't eat, couldn't walk, and he was an executive with IBM, and I am proud and privileged to tell you that because of our rehab staff, that man is now living in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and he's thriving, and he's doing well, and he's walking, and he's eating, and he's talking, and I miss him, but I'm so happy for him.
So that's what keeps you coming to work every day.
Absolutely.
I'm speaking with Rita Mably, the president and CEO of United Hebrew Geriatric Center. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Gene Dunphy a little bit about assisted living.
Sometimes we're presented with questions that are difficult to face.
Mommy, I don't like my scary dreams.
I know, but Mommy will always be here to make them go away.
But Mommy?
Yes, dear?
Who will make them go away if you die?
Unless we have effective answers to these questions, the results can be financially and emotionally devastating. Littman Crooks provides legal expertise for special needs trusts and estate planning so your loved ones will always be taken care of. For persons with disabilities, a special needs trust can enhance their quality of life while maintaining their public benefits. As a member of the Special Needs Alliance, we design wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and health care directives tailored to your family's situation. Plan for the future today. Call Littman Crooks or visit littmancrooks.com.
Littman Crooks, protecting your loved ones and your life savings. Call 684-2100.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
That's littmancrooks.com or call 684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks. We've got offices in White Plains, Fishkill, New York, and New York City. We have got two guests tonight. We've got Rita Mably and Gene Dunphy. And Gene Dunphy is with Willow Towers Assisted Living. And Gene, if I asked you, what's the main difference between a nursing home and assisted living?
Well, a nursing home can provide skilled nursing care, and assisted living can provide help with the attentions of daily life. We can help with bathing, with dressing, with medication management, but we cannot provide skilled care.
So is it like living in an apartment, or it's one step higher?
Well, living at Willow Towers is really hotel-style living, but with an array of services to choose from. It's your own home, but we are there when you need us.
And if you needed more extensive care, then you could make the transition to the nursing home portion?
That's correct. One of the unique things about Willow Towers is the continuum of care, is that you actually have a skilled nursing facility on the campus run by the same family. Rita Mably, our president and CEO, is president and CEO of the entire campus. So when we need short-term rehab from Burke, or we have a resident who has a fall and goes to the hospital, they go to UHGC and have rehab if they choose to do so.
But you also have other residents that come in from the community, right?
Absolutely.
Perhaps
yes.
Somebody who's sold their house?
Yes. The majority of our residents come from the community, having sold their home, and they decide to downsize.
And give me an example of the services, the recreation. You know, what do they do during the day? Do you feed them?
Absolutely, we do every day.
Okay.
We are a licensed facility, and again, that's somewhat unique. And we're licensed by New York State Department of Health. But we do have a significant number of residents in our community who do not need nursing help. They have hospitality services. They have three meals, daily housekeeping. I mean, can you imagine, Bernie, somebody comes in every morning, makes your bed, and takes out your garbage?
Sign me up.
Okay. And we provide a very extensive cultural program. You know, we've gone to Mets games. We go to museums. We have our own bus to transport people. We provide free transportation to doctor's appointments.
So Rita mentioned earlier that 80 or 82% of the residents at Hebrew Geriatric are on Medicaid, and I guess, you know, that means the government is paying for their stay. Is it like that at Willow Towers?
No, Willow Towers is a private pay situation. But again, what makes it unique is that while a significant number of people come to us directly from the community, they are all private pay. But if they do require skilled nursing care that A, we cannot provide, or B, if they have depleted themselves of their funds, United Hebrew, contingent upon a medical assessment, gives them priority access.
So
from assisted living to United Hebrew. And with the new building opening up with all private rooms, that's just such an added bonus for Willow Towers.
What about somebody who is wise enough to purchase long-term care insurance? Will that cover Willow Towers?
Yes, it does. And it only covers licensed facilities. So we have, I would say, at least 11 or 12% of our population who have long-term care insurance policies, and we accept payment from them.
So there are some assisted living facilities in New York State that are not licensed?
Technically, you are not permitted to use the term assisted if you are not a licensed facility. There are many lookalikes which run fine operations. Willow Towers just happens to be a licensed facility.
Which means it's subject to regulatory oversight by the state.
Absolutely, yes.
Which presumably would lend itself to, we would think, greater quality of care.
Well, it's certainly, you know, I think an organization like United Hebrew, I think the standards are so very high. And in my career, I've worked in most facilities that were not licensed, but I have to say that at Willow Towers, the standards exceed those, and I think even without the license, their moral obligation supersedes even the regulatory functions.
Rita mentioned earlier the denial and the guilt that some people might have in placing a parent or other relative or loved one into a nursing facility. In your experience, Jean, do you find the same thing with assisted living, or maybe it's not so bad?
No, it's, you know, change is very difficult. I think it was George Bernard Shaw who said nothing is more permanent than change and nothing meets with more resistance. And, you know, we have incredible resistance to moving. Nobody wants to give up their home. And the truth is that it's a trade-off. You know, we encourage independence. You can live at Willow Towers and live the life that you've always lived. We will just provide you with the services if you need them, when you need them. But nonetheless, if you've lived in your home for 60 years or 30 years and you've just lost a spouse, it's a huge change.
So tell me about a typical day for a resident of Willow Towers.
Well, they wake every morning and their bed is made. The garbage is taken out. Then if they need help with a shower, we provide that. For those who do not, they make their way to their dining room and they have a delicious breakfast. Thereafter, we usually counteract that delicious breakfast with an exercise program. We have a news and views where they discuss usually the editorial from the New York Times, occasionally agree with it and occasionally argue. And they're on throughout the day, from lunch to activities out to whether it's a bridge game or Mahjong or bingo. They get to choose what they decide to do. You know, we provide it, but it is up to them to make the decision if they want to partake or otherwise.
Do you find that, like, some residents are actually even better off because at home they would just sit at home all day and not interact with others, but when they come to a place like Willow Towers, they can actually communicate with others?
Without question. I think socially, initially, we see a marked improvement. The first week is difficult. The assimilation process is not easy. But I think, like United Hebrew, the staff at Willow Towers, they care. They feel a moral obligation to the people that they serve. And so we invest a great deal of time acclimating people to the environment. And once people are acclimated and they make, you know, a couple of buddies, then from there you see a marked improvement in just their social skills.
Do you have any husbands and wives that live there?
Yes, we do. We have about 5 couples.
And that they're permitted to share a room?
Yes, absolutely.
So what are the rooms like? Are there studios, 1 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms?
Studios, 1 bedrooms, and 2-bedroom apartments.
And I guess depending upon the availability and the person's financial situation, they can choose what's best for them?
Yeah, typically people, you know, a single person will often have already downsized from a house to an apartment, so they may choose a smaller apartment. For people who come directly from houses, they tend to take a larger apartment.
And once a relative goes in, what is the visitation policy?
It's your own home. People are free to come and go as they please. People are free to leave the building. We simply ask that they sign in and out so that we can, you know, keep an eye on things. But they are not obliged to. Some residents do not. Families visit all day, every day, at any time, until 9:30 at night when we secure the doors, but they can still visit and they're buzzed into the building.
So when you say their home, it's they don't have an interest in the property. They're basically renting, right?
That's correct. That's another unique feature, is that there is no huge upfront investment at Willow Towers. It's a rental property.
So it's some of these other continuing care retirement communities. We've heard stories of some people have to put up their life savings up front to even gain access.
Well, you know, Bernie, there's a fit for everybody. You know, from Willow Towers' perspective, it's somewhat transient insofar as there is no upfront huge investment. You can move into Willow Towers and on a month-to-month basis live there.
So you don't have to sign a long-term lease?
You do. You sign a state-mandated, it's a cookie-cutter lease agreement, but it is nonetheless a state-mandated. But you can break that at any time with 30 days' notice. I have to tell you, we haven't had anybody who wanted to break it yet.
What do you think that says? that's terrific. Okay, so anything else about assisted living that you think people would want to know about?
Well, I think as Rita said, you know, most people make the decision when they are somewhat in crisis. I think it's very important to look at not just a set of variables you have at that moment in time, but to say, well, this is my parents' situation right now, but in, you know, 3 or 4 years' time, they may need nursing home care or they may need short-term rehab. So look at the package. You know, when you choose not just for the crisis you're in at that moment, but, you know, plan for 5 or 10 years down the road.
Do people actually plan in advance the assisted living process where they'll look even if they're not quite ready today?
More and more that is happening, because really it was a relatively new concept until, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. But typically it's need-driven. People will often come to Willow Towers after they've lost a spouse or some other family crisis.
And what happens if you don't have any availability?
They would have to wait a little while.
Is there a waiting list?
At the moment, we are 98% occupied. There's a wait list for 2 bedrooms.
And if they chose to wait, then basically they'd have to wait till somebody moves out.
Well, yes, that's correct. If they choose to wait, we have on the campus, we have a licensed home care agency and a certified home care agency. So if somebody is at home and they need a little assistance and Willow Towers does not have an available apartment, then we can have them meet with somebody from our organization who can provide in-home care, you know, while they're waiting for an apartment at Willow Towers.
So there may be some people at the facility who need some extra help.
Correct.
And,
yes.
And that's available.
That is available.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and I've been speaking with Gene Dunphy from Willow Towers Assisted Living. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets, albeit available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, and we've been sort of jumping back and forth between assisted living and nursing home, and now it's time to go back to nursing home. And Rita, I'm going to give you a little bit of opportunity here to toot your horn. Tell us about some of the exciting things going on at United Heber right now.
Well, I think the most visually exciting thing that's happening is that we're building a brand new state-of-the-art nursing facility right on our campus, and we're thrilled about it. It will be one of a kind in terms of being all private rooms, 176 private rooms, but not with long, dark hallways. We're building neighborhoods on each floor. We're just thrilled about it. The dining areas are open 24 hours a day with a country kitchen. If someone gets up in the middle of the night and wants to have a cup of tea and some cake, that'll be available. There will be private dining rooms or private family rooms on each floor. So if someone wants to come in and have a birthday cake for mom or just sit with mom and have a meal, we have that availability on each floor. We're just thrilled. I was talking before about the tours that I was doing, the tour I was doing today, and when we got to the model room on the second floor of the new pavilion, somebody said, this looks more like a Hyatt than a nursing home. So I was really thrilled because my assistant and I kind of did the decorating, and I was having a darn good time, so it's nice to know that it worked out. But in addition to doing that new pavilion, which came about during 1991, believe it or not, the thought of building a new building came about when my own mom was a resident in our nursing home, in the older part of our nursing home. And I saw that the care was fabulous, but the building needed to be upgraded. So this is kind of a dream come true for me, and I feel like I'm doing it for all those people who had a mom or a dad that needed to be in a nursing home and it wasn't the prettiest place. Well, this is my contribution to our future. We're building for that future, and we're thrilled. The 1976 wing of our campus is also being upgraded and rehabbed so that it will be seamless in terms of the new building. We're just very, very excited. The staff is just over the moon, as they say in Ireland, about having this new building come on board, and we're hoping that we'll be starting to move people in February.
So it sounds like a Hyatt, not a nursing home. Wait, what's a neighborhood inside a nursing home?
On a typical nursing floor in our new pavilion, the Scallet Pavilion, there will be 44 rooms. But the 44 rooms will be divided into two areas or two neighborhoods. One will be 21 rooms and one will be 23 rooms. Each of those areas will have its own spa room, and it will have its own living rooms. It will have its own nurses' stations centers. It will have its own dining room. So wherever you are in your neighborhood, you're near something that you may want to get to. There's no long walks down a hallway to try to get to a destination. And the decorations in the building are actually going to be done in conjunction with the president of our resident council, who's an award-winning photographer. So he's thrilled that he's going to have his photographs on the walls of our new pavilion. So all in all, I think that it's going to be a combined effort between the staff and our residents. They're going to name their own units. We're thrilled. We're having our contest to see who's going to come up with the best name. And I can't tell you what a dream come true this is for me personally and professionally.
We can hear it in your voice how passionate you are about it. We got to take one more short break, and we'll be right back to wrap up with Rita Mabley and Jean Dunphy.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or at littmancrooks.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. And we've had a unique show tonight with two guests, Gene Dunphy and Rita Mabley from United Hebrew Geriatric Center and Willow Towers. And I guess, Gene, we'll start with you. Closing thoughts, and how can our listeners get in touch and learn more about you?
You can visit us online at willowtowers.com, willowtowers.